this is Michelle Anderson, north of Bangor, and today I am in Bangor at the Longhorn Steakhouse with Andrew Ian Dodge, who is running against Olympia Snow in the primary. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
I'm fine. It's good to be with you up in stormy Bangor, or soon to be stormy Bangor, rather.
You want to tell my listeners a little bit about who you are and why you've decided to run against Olympia?
Yes, I'm Andrew Ian Dodge. I'm 43 years old. I'm a freelance writer and part-time sort of lyric writer. I write pretty much everything. I live in Harpswell, Maine, and I went to Colby College for my undergraduate. I graduated in 89. I'm the son of someone from East Booth Bay. My father and his father was a master boat builder and an amateur lobsterman. My father was on the Clam Advisory Committee, amateur clammer, and all those various things. My family's been in Maine since the 1800s, if not before. And I'm one of them Dodges from the coast, basically.
And what made you decide to run against Olympia?
Well, at the risk of sounding mawkish, one of the things that really pushed me along was sitting next to my father when he was on his deathbed, and he was complaining about what's happened to Maine and how politics have gone here. And I mean, for my sins, politics is my passion. And I decided that there needed to be a candidate who was fiscally conservative, but who would play in southern Maine parts where some Republicans who are, which other people would call scary right, don't seem to do so well. And I stick to very much the core values of the Tea Party movement, which are fiscal conservatism, free market, and limited government. In fact, Tea Party Patriots, core values I co-wrote. And I want to bring those values, of which I've been working on the Tea Party movement for 2 years since the beginning, into the big thing and run against Olympia Snow and defeat her and then win at the general election so we have one more voice for physical expediency in the Senate.
I could do that. That was lengthy.
Thank you. Did I say I was a writer?
So what is the difference? This might take a while. What is the difference between you and Olympia Snow? Why would I want to vote for Andrew instead of
Well,
Olympia?
First of all, she voted for every single possible big government spending thing that's coming down the route. She voted for TARP. She voted for Obamacare out of committee. She voted for bailouts, all the bailouts, including one of my namesake car company, which I would have voted against. That would have been a bit interesting. I'm a fiscal conservative, and I believe in limited government, and I believe the country has too high debt, the deficit is out of control, and we need to cut spending. And we don't cut spending by adding more and more spending to the budget. And while some people say, yes, she brings a few million here and there to the state of Maine, she's selling out all our futures by voting for every single big government program that comes down the pike. That is our major difference. I am prudent and fiscally conservative in the way that most Mainers are about their own finances. And I think it's unfortunate to have a senator who does not take Maine values of fiscal prudency and living within their means to the Senate.
Okay. Let me ask you, because now, in this day and age, although I know what you mean, some of those words have become buzzwords.
Yes,
and I would like just a brief definition, or, you know, what do you mean? It doesn't have to be a traditional definition. What do you mean when you say limited government?
Limited government, in my mind, means the federal government sticks to those things that were set down in the Constitution as its main goals. Unfortunately, like any central government, be it Rome, Brussels, or Washington, D.C., or even state capitals, it sucks in all the power to itself and regulates and taxes and makes issues federal when they shouldn't be. The Founding Fathers knew this, and they knew that if that happens, ultimately the nation will fall because people will get so enraged with someone in a far distant land, this time Washington, D.C., not Never Never Land, not paying attention to what their needs are. You cannot make one-size-fits-all government in the state of Maine. It does not state of Maine, and it doesn't work at the national level either. So we should return the powers to the states that are not designated as federal laws. That was the way this country was founded, and it doesn't matter what people say, that's the way this country should be governed.
Okay, so judging from that, let me infer here that you would vote for, you would vote against bailouts. That's pretty clear.
Yes.
Any bailout.
Even if my namesake, even if my namesake car company. That's a big sacrifice.
What about Roe versus Wade?
It shouldn't be a federal issue.
What about defense of marriage?
Shouldn't be a federal issue.
What about...
However, if the people of a state decide collectively in a referendum to not make gay marriage legal, I don't think it's the job of the legislators to turn around and say naughty, naughty, and override that. If the legislators and those in favor of an issue go to the trouble of finding the signatures and they convince people to vote their way, that should be the law. Legislators do not have a right to override the people's voice.
Okay, good clarification.
That's called constitutionally mandated localism.
Thank you. What about national parks?
You mean like trying to turn Maine into an entire national park?
That's exactly what I mean.
And which is something that upset my father greatly. And you have this bizarre situation where they're taking away land and they're making it impossible for anybody to learn a living here except in tourism. And, you know, restricting things, of course, like fishing. There was a problem with a crab, someone who made crab, what do you call it? They process crab meat, and they had a new addition, and the EPA came and shut them down because it was this tiny leak, and you can't find crab meat in large parts of southern Maine now. I mean, that sort of stuff. And we need to keep parts of the forest, yes, can be national parks, but keep it private, because private landowners know what's best for that land, not some government bureaucrat sitting at a desk in D.C. who's probably never been to the park in the first place.
Or is ever going to go. So, I'm going to ask you, I'm hoping that you know the answers here. Or know what your answers are.
Yes. I think I know my own brain.
Many times I've asked people questions and they look at me blankly as if they'd never thought of the issue. What do you think about our current, I want to say incursion, but that's a little...
Oh, you mean the Libya thing?
Yes.
Well, I think it's pretty pathetic for the president to, in all those cases, he did the same thing with Egypt. You either butt out or you get involved. You don't sort of issue platitudes that sound like they're encouraging the rebels or not encouraging the rebels or whatever. It's an in or out type thing. Personally, I think the Europeans should have handled this and that we should have stayed out of it, probably because the U.S. seems to get a lot of credit whenever we help a Muslim nation from other Muslim nations. I can think of Somalia and even Bosnia. So I think it's rather unfortunate that the president handled it the way he did, because you have no idea what his position is. And the fact that he's sitting playing golf in Rio right now is probably inappropriate.
Do you think that he had the right to start a war without Congress's approval?
Of course not. It was superseding the constitutionality. I think it's reprehensible how he got around things. And by the way, when Bush did things like this, I was just as annoyed. I'm consistent. I'm consistent when it comes to bailouts too.
No matter who.
No matter
it's
who's
wrong,
doing.
No matter who
it's
does it.
Yeah, we do not need a corporatist state. We need a free market state. And whenever government starts getting involved in companies, they start changing the rules and making it uncompetitive for everybody else.
What would you do about the border problems within the United States?
We need to have stronger border controls for one very good reason. I'm married to a legal immigrant. We spent a lot of money and a lot of time getting it right. It's unfair to anybody who played by the rules to have these people rushing in over the border, then they get all kinds of government handouts, and some twits are thinking of giving them amnesty because they've been here for a long time. They are criminals. They broke the law. Period. We need to respect those who did it properly, because it sullies all their efforts if those who did it wrong get rewarded for their being wrong.
Do you have any thoughts on the UN?
Yeah, you mean having Libya in charge of human rights? Yes, okay. The UN should be, we should defund it, kick them out, send them to a country that which is more hospitable, and turn that nice big building, once it's been heavily fumigated, into apartments in Manhattan. I think the UN has outlived its usefulness, and it's a joke. I mean, and saying it's a joke is actually an insult to child slavery in certain places and prostitution and all the other things that people have done under the UN banner. I mean, it's an absolute disgrace, and I think it's time the UN was either certainly kicked out of the U.S., but if not that, completely and utterly reformed from the ground up.
What about the Fed?
The Fed, I'm all for auditing the Fed, but I'm not sure that I'm convinced of the arguments of end the Fed, because a lot of people who say end the Fed have no replacement for it, and that's the fundamental problem. But however, it needs to be audited, and I think every single department of the United States government needs to be audited, and we need to see where we can make cuts. Yes, I mean defense as well, because look at what some of the digging has unearthed. A senator or representative, I'm not sure which, had an engine manufacturer in his constituency, therefore pushed the military to buy an engine which was completely unnecessary for a fighter just to keep jobs in his constituency. That's called earmarks. That's pork. That's why no government department needs to be left unexamined. Period.
So recently they did a lot of it's such a relative term, smaller cuts. I'm making air quotes with my fingers. For instance, all of Congress took a budget cut, a small budget cut, but a budget cut nevertheless. And then people like Joe Biden would say, well, those are small cuts. They don't count anyway. They're not helpful. Hmm. Do you have any thoughts on that sort of idea? I think I heard President Obama talking about how unless it's the defense cuts, or I think he had three or four different things, that they weren't really valid cuts. They weren't really helpful to the problem.
I mean, it's difficult, and you have this funny situation where other people have criticized Olympia for dithering about voting for this most recent CR, which the part of it which would defund Planned Parenthood. However, the Tea Party movement supported those who were against that CR in the Senate, as in Rand, Lee, and DeMint, because it didn't cut anywhere near enough. And in fact, I believe that because of incoming spending requirements due to Obamacare and a few other things, the deficit was increased three times the amount they supposedly cut. It was unfortunate that Rand Paul's plan got cut back from $500 million to $200 billion. But anything under, say, $100 and $150 billion cuts is just a joke. I mean, $6 billion, that's nothing. That's like someone saying, "Oh, I'm gonna cut back one coffee a day when they drink 10 coffees every day." It's ridiculous.
So, let's say that something comes up that is totally against. You already know how you would vote because it's absolutely against your principles. Mm-hmm. However, you're getting calls in from your constituents, and they're running, let's say, 28-1 against what your principles are. Mm-hmm. So your constituency is telling you overwhelmingly this is what they want. Your conscience and your principles are telling you the opposite. How do you handle that?
That's probably going to be virtually every issue. I go with my principles first because I pride myself on what you see is what you get. My principles aren't going to change once I get to D.C. These have been my principles now, and they have always been my principles. And if you vote me in, this is the way I'm going to vote. I don't believe in just because it's something for one small state selling, or whatever state, when senators sell out all the entire rest of the country and our financial fiscal future because some constituencies are highly motivated by one particular subject, get on the phone. You either stand up, you have principles and you stand by them, or you don't. If you don't have principles, you go to D.C. and you become a tool of all the special interests. You need people with a strong backbone, and it's not going to be that fun at times, but that's the way life works. We want people with strong character.
So we just have to know your principles, your guiding principles, in order to figure out whether or not we
exactly.
want to vote for you. And my, I assume you will be making those.
My guiding principles are, I'm a fiscal conservative, limited government, free market. Those are my every single
in all instances.
Every single issue I look at politically, I look at through those three prisms, shall we say.
So what do you say to people who say, oh, yeah, him, he's a goth. Oh, him, he's just a musician. Oh, him, he's living in his mother's basement. What do you say about those kind of...
Well, I find it funny that for the past, I don't know, for a year and a half, I continuously receive lots and lots of personal attacks on me about my character, about what I believe or what I want to make legal or what kind of music I like or how I dress or everything else, as if I can't change in my mode of dress. I'd obviously go into Senate in wearing leather pants and a cut-off T-shirt because, you know, naturally I wouldn't change. But I notice they don't criticize me politically, because if you are a conservative and you consider yourself a fiscal conservative and a constitutional fiscal conservative, there really isn't anything you can argue with me. Or at least that's what I can tell, because people revert to personal attacks when they have nothing of concrete to argue against. And as far as I can tell, all I'm getting is personal attacks, and no one's arguing with me on the facts or my positions, which means I must be doing something right.
It must be comforting.
Oh, yeah. It's fun. It's amusing.
So if I asked you, who are your three favorite historical figures, you would say?
Three favorite historical... do they have to be political or non-political?
Anybody in history.
Three favorite... Winston Churchill, Jefferson, and... third one's the tough one. Richard Wagner, for inventing heavy metal, hard rock.
Wagner? I suppose, maybe, huh?
Yeah, Wagner.
Okay.
He invented... His music invented about five different genres, and he didn't even realize it. And I love his
art. For years, they didn't realize it.
For years, yeah.
Andrew, is there anything else that I have not, that we haven't covered, that you think that my listeners would like to know about?
Well, yeah. I think that we all need to re-examine why we send people to Washington, D.C. Now, with the Tea Party movement beginning and its existence, there have been a lot of politicians who are rehashes or redos who have decided to call themselves Tea Party candidates, stick the label on, and then try to convince people to vote for them. You can guarantee that I'm a Tea Party candidate. I have been working within the Tea Party movement since its beginning in 2009. I've been a local organizer. I've organized an event in Augusta, the first one. I've been a main coordinator for the Tea Party Patriots. I've written extensively on the Tea Party movement. I've spoken extensively on the Tea Party movement. I've helped work on policy for the Tea Party movement. I've worked on it at all levels. I never once said I was a spokesman for all Tea Partiers, because there's no such thing as a spokesman for a leader. However, if you want someone who's sourced in the Tea Party movement, steeped in it, and knows it like the back of his hand, and can speak to their concerns, and whose philosophy is in tune with the Tea Party movement as a whole, then I am your candidate. It's time for Snow to go.
Andrew, are you going to run clean election, or
Oh, God, no. I think it's immoral to expect taxpayers to pay for me to run for office. I would never do such a thing.
So, if my listeners wanted to send you money, how would they go about doing that?
Well, we'd love them to come to my website, www.electthedodge.com, where you can find a bio on me, and there are some videos of me, and some articles written about me, and there's a place for people to get together to talk to me about what they're going to do. And there's a rather large red button that says donate on it. And as your listeners probably understand, there's no way to defeat the snow without lots of money. And we need every donation we can get, no matter how small or how large, every little helps.
Thank you very much, Andrew. And this is Michelle Anderson, signing off for now, but hoping you'll be around the next time we interview someone with definite ideas about what's important to us North of Bangor.